to the most important people, the most important group of people that we have in our church. In fact, they have tags on. Who are all our VIPs this morning? Would you stand up? If you have a VIP badge on, would you stand up? Oh, they're all over here, so you guys are out of luck. So, VIPs. Did you know that you are VIPs? Did you guys know that? You know what VIPs, you know what the term VIP or the letters VIP stand for? Very important person or very important people. You are exactly right. Did you know that not only are you important to us in here, you are crazy important to God. Now, I know you get all from all of the old people, all of us in here, like, don't run in here, don't go over there, don't do this, don't eat that in there, get that out of your mouth, it's still alive. You get all that stuff from us. But you are that important to God. In fact, Jesus, while he was on the earth, while he was having his earthly ministry here, he didn't get angry with too many people. He didn't get upset with too many people. But there was only one time, one of the few times that he got really emphatic about something and just really kind of upset with people was when some of his friends actually told little kids, No, you can't come near. You can't come near Jesus. He's too busy. He's doing his thing. You can't be over here. Jesus got pretty upset at that. And in our terms today, he said, "Whoa, these are the VIPs. Let them through. I want to talk to them." They were that important to him. He also gave a warning to people and said, "If anybody whatever caused one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for a rope to be tied around that person's neck and have a stone on that and thrown into the river, thrown into the ocean." That's pretty serious stuff. That's how important you are to God. I just wanted you to understand that. I wanted you to understand how important you are to God. Now, you guys, some of you are standing already, and you can stay standing. Actually, all the VIPs, just stand up real quick. We're almost done with this part, but all the VIPs, stand up. Anybody that has the VIP badges. I'm going to tell you something. Obviously, I can't talk to just you this whole morning, or all the old people like me would be all mad at me, and I'd get yelled at, and we don't want that. So I can't talk to you, just you, the whole time. So you guys are standing up. Everybody else, all of old people, all the old people like me, everybody else that doesn't have a VIP badge, cover your ears. Okay, and you guys are going to be able to see if people are cheating. Everybody that doesn't have a VIP badge, you're going to be able to see if they're cheating. All right, you ready? I'm going to talk to you the whole time. All right, but don't tell them that, okay? All right, you guys can sit down. And everybody else can take your covers off your ears. I told you guys they're cheating. Listen, how would they know to take their ears off? How would they know to take their hands off their ears if they weren't all cheating? But to the kids especially, what are some tools that you have seen other people use? Maybe mom, dad, other people use. What are some tools that you've seen people use? A hammer? What are some other ones? Anybody else? What are some other tools that you've seen people use? Pencils, okay, yeah, we definitely use pencils to mark things.
Sledgehammer.
Whose kid is that? Sledgehammer, all right. Luke?
Screwdriver.
A screwdriver, yeah, very good. Well, we got a chance to use some pretty cool tools last week when we went to West Virginia to help out this other church. We got a chance to use things like blow torches. Mr. Hans and I are not ever allowed in that school again because we almost burn it down. But we were able to use like blow torches and soldering. There were some folks that were using post hole diggers to put in this really cool fence to help keep people safe. There were other people that were using wiring. They were wiring lighting through this building to make sure people had lights in different areas. All kind of cool stuff. But did you know you have the most powerful tools ever made with you right now? Did you know that? Any ideas? Check your pockets. I wouldn't be surprised to see Luke pull out a jackhammer somewhere, but your mouths. The Bible tells us, God tells us that one of the most powerful tools ever made is our mouths. Isn't that amazing? Proverbs 18:6 tells us the lips of fools bring them trouble, and their mouths invite a beating. I don't know about you guys. I've never gone around going, hey, can I have a beating? You know, that's a pretty serious thing. But it says if we don't guard our mouths, we're going to get it. Another part of Proverbs, and by the way, Proverbs is an awesome book. If you guys read in one book, go to Proverbs. It's awesome. It's all written from older generations and older people who have been around and done really cool things to younger people who are going through their lives. Proverbs is an awesome book. But Proverbs 21:23 says, those who guard their mouths will keep themselves from calamity. Calamity. It's a big word. Any idea what's calamity mean? We might need to have some bigger kids help them out. What's calamity?
Trouble.
Trouble. Yeah, trouble, danger, things like that. Well, the Bible tells us, and history shows it, how powerful the mouth is, how powerful our words are. You know, entire countries were destroyed by people's mouths, by words that were said. Talk to somebody from Germany about the 1940s and words that somebody said, words that people said, and how they destroyed a country. At the same time, words won a war. Look at the same time period, back to Winston Churchill, and see how his words of, we won't surrender, we won't back down, we're not going to give in, how those brought people from other countries to their side. They won that war. But we need to be very careful how we use this tool, our mouths. It can hurt. It can show that we don't love someone. It can be mean and make someone feel horrible or start trouble by not telling the truth. Or it can do amazing things. It can brighten someone's day by saying something kind. It can encourage someone who's having a rough week. It can make something or someone better by telling the truth. That's how powerful of a tool our mouths are. As the church, we're called to be a loving community. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I opened the service this morning with 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. I want to read that again. And as we read it, think about how important it is to God for us as a church, for us as Christians, to love each other. Let's read it together. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the first part of 8, love never fails. After reading that verse, again, how important do you think our love for other people is to God? Amazingly important. As I've had the opportunity to work with some very troubled kids, and there are some very good friends of ours that are here that have that opportunity too to work with some kids who are going through a lot in their lives. And I've talked to some of you about it before. But we've seen that there are three enormous requirements that these kids, that these people believe they have to have in their lives to be complete or to be whole. The first is a sense of belonging. I belong to somebody. I'm part of something. Somebody has my back. The second, a sense of worth. Someone thinks I'm worthy of their time, their efforts, their love. I'm worthy. And the third is a sense of competence. I can achieve something. I can succeed. You can do it. I can succeed. And no matter what we strive, we go after all these things, but the crazy thing is, the funny thing is that God has provided all these things for us. So we seek, we strive, we go after all these things, but God has provided all those things for us. Romans 8:16 tells us the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We belong to God. It tells us we belong to God. We are His children. Under belonging, it's until a person gets that idea, gets that concept, they can try to be as busy as possible, involved in so many other things, but they're still going to come up short. They're not going to be a complete person. When it comes to worth, look at Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Do you hear that up there? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have such worth, such value, that Christ died for us to take our punishment. That's how worthy, how valuable He sees us. When we talk about competence, let's go to our next one. Competence. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Immeasurable. How much power are we given by God through His Spirit? Immeasurable. You can't measure that on a ruler. It's immeasurable amounts. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to enable us to achieve anything. And God has made provisions to make us adequate in every area of life. For us to be a whole person, anyone, we need those three areas. And you know, this is kind of an object lesson that I've seen so many times. Those three areas of life that we talked about, that belonging, our worth, our competence. We have to have those three parts to stand. Well, we see people all the time who, when you take one of those things away, no matter how hard you try, you can't do it. You can't stand. It falls. We see that a lot. I work with people daily that are missing one of those things, one of those legs, one of those parts. And they turn to other things. They turn to things to try to support them, things like unhealthy or dangerous things, sometimes substances, sometimes some unhealthy relationships. But friends, we as the church are here to love and support each other. I meet so many people, and maybe you do too, so many people that are growing up, that are living their lives without a sense of worth, without a sense of self-confidence, without a sense of belonging, because of words that were spoken to them at some point in their lives. That's how powerful these tools, our mouths, are. The type of injury that comes with those words, that comes with their mouth, is something that sticks with a person. And unless he or she turns to God and understands that he does belong to God, she does belong to God, she does have great value to God, and that God will enable us to do anything through his power. Until we get that, we aren't complete. God never intended for us to be without these parts or these legs. We've been talking in Sunday school about in Genesis. All the young adults right now are going, oh, I hope he doesn't call on me. Oh boy, do I hope he doesn't call on me. But we've been talking in Genesis about the relationship, the type of relationship that God has set for us, that he wants to have with us, that he still wants to have with us, and will have again someday. But we live in a pretty harsh world where words have powerful and lasting impact. In Sunday Night Connect, we've been talking about how when God created us, how God has such value placed on us. He loves us so much, and he has such powerful things for us to do. We've been talking about some other groups that have some different ideas about us, different ideas about how we got here. Atheists who don't believe in God, to them, we're just kind of cosmic accidents, kind of just a group of cells instead of a designed creation by God. They see us as kind of just another living thing that is just here. Folks, I cannot imagine living my life, going through my life with that in my head. I can't imagine. And neither should you, neither should they. We as the church, we as Christians need to, not should, if we can get over ourselves, if we can, if we don't think the popular kids or boss or other friends of ours are here, if we don't think about that, we maybe do. We need to make people around us realize that they matter to us, that they belong, that they are able to accomplish great things in God. I get a chance to see this in my own life. I've done some really dumb things in my life. I've done some not the greatest things in my life. As a kid, as an adult, and my family has made it very clear to me that I belong to them. And no matter what I do, no matter how I screw up and try to get myself kicked out of that family, I belong to that family. They've shown me that I belong. So I see that part, the belonging. I see the worth. I can remember a time, and some of us were just talking on our way to West Virginia last week about times that we get crippled by fear. We've talked about some pretty amazing things, jumping out of a helicopter, skydiving. Well, way before I ever went skydiving and before I ever jumped off buildings and before I ever did bungee jumping, I was crippled by fear on a diving board. Not a diving board, a diving board. And I see some other people going, yeah, me too. But a diving board. I was a kid, and I was in Boy Scouts, and I was going for this swimming merit badge, I can remember. And I got to the end of that diving board. What's the big deal, right? I got to that diving board, kids behind me, of course, waiting in line for me, behind me. And I didn't see the water. I saw that drain on the bottom of 12 feet. And there's something about it that freaked me out. There's something about it that I just saw and I just froze. I just couldn't do anything. So minutes became hours. Hours became a lot longer. And I would go on there, I'd get all psyched out, and then I'd walk back and somebody else would come up and go off the diving board. Some other people would go. And then once I saw a clearing, I'd come back up to that diving board, get up on that board, freeze. Then I'd get back over and other people would go on. Minutes became hours. Hours became weeks. That's how bad it was. Weeks became an entire summer of me freezing on that diving board. To the point where I almost didn't accomplish a task that I needed to for a merit badge and then an advancement and then my goal as an Eagle Scout. But then there was my dad. And some of you have met my dad. Some of you remember my dad. He wasn't the tiniest of people. He's a pretty big guy. But he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. I see you're struggling. I'm going to go do it. He went up on that diving board and he did the biggest, baddest belly flopper I have ever seen. And I'm pretty sure in the history of belly floppers, this was rated up there. He came out of the pool and I think he had the word epic written across his chest. And you could very easily see it because he was red from head to toe. But that day, he showed me that I was worth his embarrassment, the pain that he went through. I was worth it to him. And just to finish the story, after that, I went right in the diving board and went in the water. It was over. But he showed me the worth, the value that I had, that I have. So that's that worth part. As far as the accomplishment part, I've had a lot of people in my life that have encouraged me. But I can remember back to a man named J.L. Clark. He was an incredible pastor when I was a kid. Very well known around because of the things that he did, the people that he touched. And I remember one day as a kid, this guy putting his hand on my shoulder and saying, David, you are going to accomplish great things for God in your lifetime. That has stuck with me forever. And it will stick with me forever. You will accomplish great things for God in your life. How do you not strive to accomplish great things for God in your life when you hear something like that? I remember what time of day it was, what season it was, what I was wearing. I remember everything about that day because he told me I was going to accomplish great things. And again, it stuck with me. 1,000 more stories that will stand out to me forever could be told. And how true those idea of those three parts of your life are. In my life, I got a chance to see it. But what if you weren't as fortunate? What if you weren't as blessed as I was to have those experiences like that? Sometimes it's tough for me to relate to a kid who was sold by a parent to a dealer for drugs. That's pretty tough to relate to when you have that kind of backstory that I have. Or sometimes it's tough to relate to a kid who was passed around from one gang to another through ritual, through other things like that. It's kind of hard to relate to that. Or even things like being told you're not worthy, you don't belong, you're never going to amount to anything. If that's you, that's horrible. But you don't have to live there anymore. And that's one of the things we talk about. You don't have to live there anymore. Get your stuff and move on, because God loves you and has tremendous things planned for you. Talk to somebody about it. Get it out. Forgive that person and move out of that prison that the enemy uses to steal our life, our love. He uses that. We as a loving community have hundreds of things on a daily basis that we can say to somebody to encourage them. To that cashier at Walmart that just had 15 people in front of us yelling and screaming at her, telling her about how bad the store is and how wrong everything is in life. A customer service rep that's trying to help us with a bill on the phone. To a family member who has just had a really, really bad day. How will you use the tools that God has given you as a member of the loving community that we call Latrobe Alliance Church? To build or to destroy? To show your mom that you love and respect her, or to show that struggling family that they matter to you? Because they matter to God? Or your son, who is watching you to see how you handle this certain crisis situation with money or with time? If we want to draw others to our church, and more importantly, to a relationship with God, we had better understand that we're surely not going to do it through nasty looks, snide comments, and gossip. We are going to shine our light into this community and to those around us by, number one, encouraging those who are struggling, helping those who are hurting, and loving the ones that drive us crazy. Because the Halps are letting their son, Lucas, run through the church naked again, up to the candles to start something on fire. You know, it's just one of those things, a big smile on his face. Now, I just gave him an idea, probably. But we need to show the world that we are different, that this church is a community that loves others and thereby loves God. I had the opportunity a couple years ago to go out to Glacier National Park in Montana and see how God uses these crazy forces to make breathtaking sights. How God uses glaciers, chiseling, cracking, carving to make breathtaking sights. It didn't just happen. They didn't just happen. It took a lot of rough work. Just like in your life, in our lives. That's what makes us a family. I've been a part of this church for 30 years, over 30 years. That's how old I am. Over 30 years. And I've seen things, just like that glacier. I've seen meltdowns. I've seen some breakdowns. And I've seen a whole lot of crack-ups. But God has used every one of those things to make us a thing of beauty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you do for us. Lord, we just thank you for being a God who loves us, who believes we have value. We're able to accomplish things. And through, Lord, you just consider us worthy of your love. Lord God, may we leave this place and go out into our mission field and go out into life and just allow other people to see what you do for us and your love for us. And we'll ask these things in your name. Amen.